Let us open up God's holy word. We'll have two passages this morning. And first, I had one text and the other one background, but they're really both the text. So we'll read both of them. The first is in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 on page 1090. And then our second text, well, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11b to 16 on page 330 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 2. This is the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let us now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, from verse 11b. We'll just do verse 11. 2 Samuel from verse 11 to 16. From this time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. He is speaking to David here. In your days, the word come to life in our souls. For we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, friends, guests, we have gathered here this Christmas day to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came roughly 2019 years ago to this earth, as the children already said, as the Savior of the world, the one who died for sins and rose to life. And we see Christmas, we remember that God sent His Son to the world as a gift for us. And we hear a lot of times now, we should really remember the true gift of Christmas, not all the packages under the tree or whatsoever, but the true gift of Christmas. And so we are amazed that God's Son came as a little baby lying in a manger. As our text says, there was no room for Him in the inn. And we are amazed that He was first visited by simple shepherds, not by the royal courts of all the world, not for the whole world instead of to be registered to come to the birth of Jesus Christ. But He was sort of in hiddenness, in the darkness He was born. Well, of course, not the darkness from heaven, because God set a special star in the heavens to shine upon this birth. But we look at this amazing miracle as something beautiful, something sweet to our souls. And there's a lot of sweet imagery. And all of that is true, and it's amazingly beautiful. It's something endearing to our hearts. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke here did not write about Jesus' birth as something mere, something just beautiful, something just something romantic. But they saw Jesus' birth, His coming, as the long-expected son of David. It wasn't for them first, oh, what sweet that He came as a baby, or what humility, but there was a joy in the hearts of these gospel writers and of all the early church, because they saw that Jesus was the son of David. And it's amazing because both Matthew and Luke are emphasizing this fact that He belongs to David. Let me read to you our text, Luke 2, verse 4. Listen to Luke's emphasis. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You hear the emphasis of Luke. Luke is putting us on high alert. He is, if you will, he's putting the prophecy fulfillment flashers on. Wake up, listen who this boy is. This is the great, great, etc., son of David. He is of the lineage of David. And Jesus Christ, beloved, was not some sudden idea from God, some emergency rescue plan from God. But Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of God's promise to David many years ago. This had been a long time coming, and the Israelites were waiting, anticipating the birth of this son of David. And God had promised to David that a son would be on the throne. Now, David's son, Solomon, sat on the throne after him. But David understood that the promise of God, that this eternal king, or this kingdom, not going ahead of herself yet, that kingdom would be established through a son that was not just Solomon. Let me read to you the response to this passage in Samuel, David's response after he hears these promises from God in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18 and 19. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the instruction for mankind, O Lord God." David knew that God's promise was something that would be fulfilled in the far future. This son that was spoken to was not just for him and his son. It was something far after his death, and it was the instruction of all of mankind. Beloved, what Luke sees in our text, and what Matthew saw, and what Mark saw, and what John saw, and what the whole early church saw was this: David's son had come. The promise was being unfolded. This great news that made David shrink and say, "How am I worthy to be related to this man that would come one day?" has come. And that is the celebration. It's really a royal celebration at Christmas. Yes, the Savior, but the royal Savior, the Son of God, has come to earth. And so let us look this morning at this baby king, the promised one, this gift from God through the promises to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I will begin with the first promise: his kingdom will be established. The first promise for David's offspring is the kingdom. 2 Samuel 7 verse 12 says this: "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you." You see that? When you lie down with your fathers, in other words, after you have died, I will raise up your offspring after you. Now, the Bible is very clear that when Solomon ascended on the throne, David was still alive. You remember that story about two sons. First, one son gets on the kingdom and the throne, and then Solomon goes there instead, and God and David blesses his sons ascend to the throne. "But I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Now, this word offspring, let me do a little sidetrack. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Abram's offspring. And you remember that in Galatians when we talked about how Paul said Abram's offspring, it's singular. So that doesn't mean offsprings as in many, but one offspring, namely Jesus Christ. The same thing is going on here. Abraham has now come to David, and there is an offspring coming out of David. You see, the line is moved ahead. And now we see it's not just the son of Abraham, but it's the son of Isaac, Jacob, and David's offspring that will be this son whose kingdom will be established. Now, David was a king, right? Our text says that, and I think it says it on purpose. David, the king, answered. And by all means, his kingdom was pretty established, I would say. He was a powerful, well-respected king in the eyes of both his people and the surrounding nations. There's these great stories in the Old Testament how David's men were powerful and mighty, and how they would just defeat whatever enemy would come to them. He was an established kingdom. But here, God promises David that the kingdom of his offspring would be established by God. In other words, God would not just appoint the king, but he would institute the kingdom. He would lay out the kingdom. The coming king would be the king of a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom that was far more glorious than David's kingdom, a kingdom which seat and throne would be in the heavens, and whose territory would spread throughout eternity. This was no ordinary kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. And it would be God's kingdom. And that's the promise made to David. You see why David shrinks small and says, "How am I worthy of these things?" This is a glorious message. This is why Jesus did not come to be born in a castle or in a royal court. He did not come to build a kingdom out of the dust of this earth, because quite honestly, that would be too small and too insignificant. A little temporary kingdom on this earth that would one day go away and pass away. No, Christ's kingdom would be established by eternal souls. That's a lesson for you at Christmas and for me, isn't it? How much do we value our soul compared to the dust of this earth? Right? The world loves the dust of this earth, the gold and the jewelry and the buildings and the pieces of can where we drive in. But Jesus says, this kingdom, I don't need to be born in this big castle. I don't need to be living in this big place where all these important people come to me. I want to be born in the presence of God, where people will come to worship me, even the lowest shepherd, because the lowest shepherd is worth more than all the kingdoms of the earth and all that it has together. You see that? I think sometimes we emphasize so much that, why wasn't he born in this beautiful castle? As though the castle is more important than a human being's eye. But Jesus was born among the animals, yes, but in the eyes of men for whom he would die, which was more precious to him than all the wealth of the earth gathered together. And so the kingdom of God had come to the earth. The king has arrived. And the reason why the wise men from the east came to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh was for this reason: because the king was born. And so when we think about this baby, let us never think about, oh, cute little baby. This is a king that was born. The kings of the earth are born in this world and die in this world, but the kingdom that Jesus received is established by God. In other words, kings of this earth come and go. Whether you like your current political environment or not, it will come and go. And so with the next and the next and the next, it will come and go. But Jesus' kingdom will stand forever. And so if you belong in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, even though you might be affected in positively or negatively in this world, the kingdom of Jesus Christ stands forever, because this king's kingdom is established by the eternal God, the Almighty from Daniel. The Ancient of Days has given the kingdom to Jesus Christ. And in so, it will stand forever and ever and ever. God sent down Jesus to this world to establish a kingdom for his glory. God's kingdom is established in peace, and it will never fall. The kingdom of Jesus is not a kingdom of fear and fright, but of comfort and joy in God. You see, in this world, there's a lot of rulers who terrorize their people, who are like tyrants and push down upon their people. I mean, just go to North Korea or people in the past, right? Rulers that push down on their people. But this is a king who loves his people and died for his people and left. Sometimes I'm amazed that we don't think enough about Jesus coming down from heaven to the earth. I mean, we say, well, what a humble thing to be born in a manger. Oh, my dear friends, what a humble thing to go out of heaven to the earth. Right? This is made out of dust. God had to speak this into being, has to hold it together. He steps down and rests his own feet upon the very dust that he has made. that now he needs to have food to supply himself, to maintain his body and his health. That's humility. But he came to establish the kingdom of true love and truth and an eternal future with God. For God has established his Son as a king, and all who belong to this kingdom are truly saved. And on Christmas, we celebrate the king and his kingdom that has been established by God. I want you to let that thought sink into your minds. That if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have transferred into a new kingdom. A kingdom that does not come and go, but a kingdom that has been established and prepared and cared for all eternity by God. And you've become a citizen of God's kingdom, where God does not seek to suck you empty with heavy systems of texts or all kinds of things, but where God himself pours out his life so that you might have joy and comfort in the Holy Spirit towards God. Second point that David hears. His throne will last forever. God told David this in verse 13, 2 Samuel 7, verse 13. He, that is Jesus, shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now I wonder when Jesus says in John's gospel that he will go and prepare a place for you, for in his house there are many rooms or many mansions, many places. I wonder if he's referring to this. Because here Jesus Christ is the one who shall build a house for God's name. And then when he comes to his disciples, he says, I am preparing a place in my Father's house so you can come into that house. Jesus did not come to build a house in the name of David, but for God. Jesus Christ came as the King of God's people. Beloved, this is the joy of Christmas. That by faith, we belong to the kingdom of God. This is the message of the Gospels. Behold, repent and believe, for the gospel, the kingdom of God, is at hand. The kingdom has come. The place where we are no longer bound to this temporary earth, but that we can believe in Jesus Christ and live with him forever and ever and ever. And as I told the children, where every tear will be wiped from your eyes, where there will be no more sin in our hearts or in our lips or in our ears, where there will be no more opposition from other people or pride or this endless comparison fear game. But where we will be at rest with God forever and ever. When people move to another country, they're often proud of their origin. They stand up and say, I'm from the Netherlands, right? Or I'm from this country, or I'm from that country. It's interesting because if you think that you're not patriotic, move to another country and you'll find that all your patriotism comes out and you'll be telling me, oh, I'm from this place. When somebody asks you a question, oh, let me tell you about the United States. Right, and I'm living in this state, and this was invented there, and all these things were there. And especially if there's an important member in your family. Right? I think Americans love heritage, especially if there's an important person, if one of your great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers was on the Mayflower. But you got to make sure that everybody knows that you are a true-blooded American. Right, that you are a Mayflower American, or the Native Indians, right? If you have Native Indian blood in you, that you say, well, you know, I was here before the Mayflower even arrived, right? If there's any American, it's me. But as Christians, even though all this is fine, right? That we can be happy of the country, we can be thankful of the place what God has given us, but we belong to the kingdom of God. If there is anything to rejoice in, it's that. Now, I'll be honest with you, since I came to America, I'm more Dutch than ever before, I think. I stand for it, and I'll tell how wonderful the Netherlands is and all those things. But my friends, that is nothing compared to my transfer of kingdom to God's kingdom. I belong to the King, which is also my Father, just so you know, who created the world. Oh, he's also the one who gave you, who knitted you together in the womb, and who gave you the breath of life so you can live. Oh, he's also the one who gave you breakfast and lunch and dinner for your entire life. That's my King. And that's the one to whom I belong to. You see the pretty flowers and the beautiful birds and the amazing animals and the families together in love? My King made that. You see my King? I belong to that King. Eternal and legal citizens of God's eternal kingdom. Living under, forever and ever, under the wisdom, love, and care of God. My dear friends, when I see, what I love is this, when you go through a forest and it's a little foggy and sometimes the sun breaks through and it's just all these beams of light come through the trees. You know what I mean? And you see the beautiful colors of the spring leaves and it's this amazing sight. Wow, if God made that on the earth, which is coming and going away, what will I see for the rest of eternity? My King, my Lord. Having impressed, oh, that we may have it impressed upon our heart, stamped upon our heart, that God is our King and that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, guarded and provided by the King of Kings. So that's the amazing thing. Kings of this earth, right, in Israel also, he said, if you have a king, you have to send your young man and you have to pay this and pay that. But the King of Kings came to give himself for us. And yes, it's very expensive to be a Christian, but it will cost you an entire life. But you give it to a God who loves you like no man or woman on the earth loves. But listen to these words. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jesus is king forever. You see, at this moment, we don't fully see the extent of this kingdom. This world seems to be divided in all little kingdoms, isn't it? You have this people and that people, and they're all different groups and different cultures and different kings, and there's different religions, and there's all kinds. It's like a big mixture of different powers. And even if we do it black and white, right, we have God and Satan's kingdom. There seems to be two kingdoms at work. But there will come a day that started when Jesus set his foot on the earth as the King. There will come a day when Jesus will take right what is rightfully his, namely everything. He made it all and he owns it all. And he came on Christmas as a little baby, but everything that exists has written on it belonging to Jesus Christ. Even the manger that he was sleeping in when he was a baby was made by himself. And there will come a day when Jesus will claim all that is his. Jesus Christ will come down to gather his people. The heavens and the earth will roll up like a scroll and be done away with, and all souls will be gathered before God. And then all of mankind will come before the throne of this baby Jesus, this God. All the powerful people, such as the dictators, as Caesar, Hitler, Kim Jong-un, Mussolini, they will all tremble before this mighty King, Jesus Christ, and acknowledge on their knees that he is King forever and ever. And the people of God, who have come and believed in this baby, who became a man, who became the one who died for our sins and rose to sit forever at the right hand of God the Father, we will see our King and rejoice forever as we cast our crowns before his feet and say, glory, hallelujah, praise be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all who believe in Jesus Christ will be with him forever. Thirdly, he is the true son. 2 Samuel 7 verse 14 says this, I will be to him a father. God will be to Jesus a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of man and the stripes of the Son of Man. This Jesus is no ordinary son of David, such as Solomon or Absalom. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is not a servant or a hired man, but he is the Son of God himself. Listen to these words. God says that he will strike him and discipline him with the rod of man and the stripes of the Son of Man. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He never sinned, and yet he was struck, and yet he was beaten with the rod and with stripes by the hands of man. You know why? Because he came and died for you. Because he was struck and disciplined, not for his sin, but because he took your sin upon himself. He was struck, rightfully struck, not for him, but for you. You see that? And oh, did he receive the stripes and the rod. This is the love of our King, beloved. He received stripes. He received the striking for you. Yeah, sometimes we need to visualize this, don't we? You stood there on trial, and not before a temporary Roman judge, but before the judge of all judges, God himself. And at the moment where you were to receive your eternal punishment, Jesus Christ stepped in and says, step to the side, I will stand there and receive your stripes. For every sin that you spoke, thought, done, whatever you, however you have been able to sin, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he did it for you. Even the little deceptive thoughts of bitterness and jealousy, even the sins committed against God himself, calling his house or his word or prayer boring or whatsoever, he came and received the stripes and strikes for you as the son of his father, so that you can be sons of the living God. So that you can be united with God forever and ever and become sons of the living God. That's amazing. That is the joy of Christmas. Oh, my dear friends, when I see Jesus at Christmas, I don't see a helpless baby lying in a manger. I don't see a cute little picture of a happy family with a baby. I see my Savior who came down from heaven to this world to be like me, so he can extend his hand to me, who am simply human being, and at the same time can extend his hand to God, who is divine and was from everlasting to everlasting, and can bring the two of us together through his body, so that I could be eternally with him. Oh, the sweet, infinite love of Jesus Christ. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. Last point, he will be loved forever. 2 Samuel 7, verse 15, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. God took his love from Saul because he disobeyed God. And as a result, Saul lost his kingdom and God gave its kingdom to David. But God will never, ever, ever withdraw his love from the house of David in Jesus Christ. For there is nothing in Jesus Christ that the Father dislikes, for the Father and the Son are one God. And your relationship, your eternal safety depends on the relationship between the Father and the Son, but that love is eternal and forever and ever. And so, your soul, if you're in Christ, is saved forever and ever, bounded by the love of God and the Son that is forever and ever and ever. Do you see? Here is a God who knows all eternity that says, he will be mine forever and I will never withdraw my love from him. That's a good insurance. Beloved, this comes from God, who knows all of eternity, and the love between the Father and the Son never ends. It has always been there. It has always been strong. It has always been overabundantly, gloriously beautiful, and you're placed by faith in Christ right in the middle. This is wonderful news for all who believe in Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I'd rather lose everything in this world, my life included, whatever it takes, but to be found in Him is life eternal. I feel so sorry for people who don't see this, who don't know God. It doesn't upset me when somebody stands up and says, God doesn't exist. My heart breaks. You know why? Because I know God. Well, I know a little bit about God, but it fills my old capacity. It's amazing. And He washed my conscience clean of all the sins. And now I see, I remember the sins, but I know that it's washed away by the blood of Christ. And so my former sin are no longer a burden that I carry on my back, but a trophy that shows the power of Jesus Christ. Washed anew and clean. And so now He is the King, and I am the baby. And I don't care in what kind of manger He lays me, but as long as it is in His presence, I'll be like the little child with his mother that is comfortable trusting His motherly love. So, we have become partakers of that eternal union of love between the Father and the Son. In the same way that the Father loved the Son when He sent Him down and became a little baby, the same way the Lord God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loves me. And now Jesus Christ has become a human being so we can partake of that eternal union and fellowship with God, where Jesus is fully man, fully God, so fully eternally with God, and yet I am fully with Him forever and ever. That's amazing. That's why He became a baby. For this baby Jesus came to the earth so that you will have eternal life and the forgiveness of your sin, so that you will have the eternal love of Jesus Christ poured out into your heart through the Holy Spirit, and so that you will love forever with the love of God. Jesus came to the earth so we might taste the sweetness of heaven forever and ever and ever. And that's why He came down to the earth. That's why He went on the cross, because of the joy that was set before Him. And I don't think it's just the joy of Him sitting high and lifted up. I think this is the joy that you and I can worship Him forever, that He would save you and I from the clutches of Satan, from the places of condemnation and judgment, and set us forever with Him to be in a glorious kingdom forever and ever and ever. You and me. So my dear friends, do you know the love of God? Have you come to know Jesus Christ? I've laid it out before you what it means that He came to this earth in frail, weak words that I am ashamed of even saying it, because the human language cannot contain the glory of what God has done for you and me. But do you know Him? Are you part with this God? Are your sins washed away? If you believe in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, because one day, I don't know what it will be, but if you could, you would laugh at me and say, you had no idea what you were talking about, right? This looks horrible, these words of what it actually is. Oh, my dear friends, He is here today. And if you know Him, praise the Lord. And if you don't know Him, say, Lord, take my life and let it be a living prayer and sacrifice unto Thee. Take my sin and make me thine. Cleanse me for Your life. I receive. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before You, but You have been with us all the time, Father, we thank you for your incredible word. Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit and your holy power, you would let this word become a reality. Father, I pray for those who are going through difficult times that these words may be a comfort to their souls. Father, and those who do not know you, that their hearts might be broken open and seeing the beauty of your gospel. Father, I pray that every person in this room might have a true and living relationship with Jesus Christ, so that your kingdom may be glorified today. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.